We're going to kick off with the welfare war between Labour and the Tories. It's escalated after George Osborne linked the Mick Philpot case to the shake-up of the benefits system.
Courts are responsible for sentencing him, but I think there is a question for government and for society about the welfare state and the taxpayers who pay for the welfare state subsidising lifestyles like that, and I think that debate needs to be had.
Well, the intervention was described by the Shadow Chancellor, Ed Balls, as the cynical act of a desperate Chancellor.
And it's been done for the most base political motives, and I think people will see in our country a Chancellor trying to make political capital out of a human tragedy and say, you know, that is not worthy of the office which he holds.
What do you think this morning? 08459 555 678. The Chancellor being accused of exploiting the deaths of six children to have a pop at welfare reform. So should he have been connecting the two issues in such a public manner? Or is it for a comment that echoes the thoughts of many people? The former Conservative Minister Edwina Currie is with us, also the former Liberal Democrat MP Lembit Opic. You're both very welcome. Edwina Currie, let me start with you. Political opportunism at its worst?
Good morning. Well, we didn't hear the question, of course, that the Chancellor was asked, because it's been rather artfully edited.
Well, but the question was if the Philpots were a product of Britain's benefit system.
And he rightly said there's a debate to be had about that, and I think that's a very worthwhile debate. I mean, the fact is we've got something like nearly 200 families in the UK with more than 10 children on benefits, and they are much, much better off, much, much better off than they would be, and they're making a rational decision to do that. On the other hand, of course, Mick Philpot himself, this particular individual, is a wicked rogue. And a wicked, wicked criminal. And he would have manipulated whatever system was available to him. Not least, of course, he had both women in the house working and had their wages paid into his own personal bank account. So there's a sense in which he's an exception, perhaps, that proves the rule.
Well, the suggestion is that the unemployed father of 17 could have been, after taking the two wages that you've referred to from the two women and adding it to the benefits that he was receiving, could have been earning the equivalent of a £100,000 salary when you added it all together.
That's
one issue which we'll come to. But in terms of you, Lembit Opic, I mean, do you agree with Ed Balls? Was this a comment with base political motives in mind?
I do think that Ed Balls is right on this one. Edwina was correct to point out the context. It's terribly dangerous to hear an answer without hearing the question.
But he didn't have to answer it.
Yes, he did.
My big issue is that the only sensible answer in this occasion is to say that Philpot is such an exceptional case. You can't possibly draw conclusions about the benefit system as a whole. And I think that George Osborne has once again blundered and offended hundreds of thousands of people because, as you yourself said, there's only a couple of 100 families. Well, as Edwina said, only a couple of 100 families in this situation out of almost 30 million households in this country. And the suggestion that what happened in Philpot's case is in any way related to the bigger and valid questions about welfare reform just beggars belief. And bear in mind, if you do actually start reducing the amount of money that people like Philpot get, it's not so much him that suffers, it'd be the kids. And however stupid he may and selfish he may be for having so many children, if only on the environmental grounds, at the end of the day, there are very, very few people in that position.
So just to be clear, Ember, you would give the Chancellor almost a bye ball on this one, that it's more clumsy than an attempt to make political capital?
It's typically clumsy of him. He probably got asked the question. He didn't think it through, and he made a comment. It would be as stupid as saying just because we've got an incompetent Chancellor with a privileged background, we should ban all people. The question should be asked about whether people with a privileged background should be allowed to be Chancellor. It really is pretty much as ridiculous as that.
Right. You're not going to say he's incompetent, Edwina. Can you admit it at least that he's a clumsy Chancellor?
This is all absolute rubbish. He said, and you played it, that it's time to have a debate on this. In fact, Philpot and his ilk, and there are, in fact, more than 25,000 families with five children or more in the country, where at least one parent is on welfare. And they get a massive £150 million in child benefit alone. And frankly, I'd rather it go on other things like police and education. I'm a passionate believer in good education and so on. There are lots of other things that the money could go on that would benefit these children and that would influence the kind of choices that people then make. And we have to be realistic about this. In fact, it's changing because there's a benefits cap just come in and nobody's going to be able to claim more than £26,000 a year in benefit. And that's, of course, the equivalent of a salary of about £35,000 to £40,000 anyway. But nobody's going to be able to claim those sort of figures in future.
But the thing about it is, I mean, it's not as if the Chancellor turns up to these events and he's on his own and he doesn't have all these advisors and these people
now,
telling him...
I'm going to stop you. Do you want to have a debate about whether the Chancellor's competent? Or do you want to have the debate that he's calling for about whether families should make the choices they are doing at our expense? That's the debate, surely.
But I'm trying to suggest, you know, that surely to goodness, people around him would have suggested that this may come up and it may not be the best day to say what he did.
Do you know what...
I mean, nobody's disputing that, yes, absolutely, society has a role to play and taxpayers and the government have a role to say, well, you know, should these circumstances be allowed to come about? But to say it on yesterday of all days, surely he left himself wide open to the attack that came.
I think this is entirely spurious criticism. The real criticism should be aimed at those who designed a benefit system going back many, many years in which it was a rational choice for people to have another child, to get more child benefit so that they could choose the lifestyle that they wanted. And it's one of the things that has really infuriated an awful lot of other very hard-working people who do make the choice when they look around to say, you know, we can't afford to have a third child. We can't afford to do this. And in many ways, I think Ed Ball should be questioning what he's saying, because an awful lot of the people who see how the benefits system, with its excessive generosity, destroys communities and destroys lifestyles, they're Labour voters, or they have been Labour voters, and they are absolutely fed up to the back teeth with this nonsense. And they want to say, you know, don't just tell us that you're supporting hard working families, do it. And the benefit system is about to change, and that's going to happen.
I mean, Edwin is right. In terms of what Mr. Osborne actually said, you know, it's right that we ask questions as a government, as a society, and as taxpayers. Why are we subsidising lifestyles like these? He's right. Surely it is a debate that needs to be had.
Well, we learned two things from this conversation. First of all, Edwina Currie is far more qualified to be in the position of George Osborne, because there's no way Edwina would make the kind of clumsy, blundering mistake that...
I used to do it all the time, Lembit. So did you.
Well, no, I mean, seriously, I mean it. You've made a point which I may have views on, but you've made it in a sensible and informed political way. Now, Osborne is probably the second most powerful man in the country. And to the idea of connecting something as exceptional as the Philpott case with general benefits reform is ludicrous. Now, the second point about this benefits reform question, there is a political question issue here. Are we really saying that in some way we're not just going to cap the amount of money that people on benefits get, which I know would be popular, particularly with right-leaning voters? Are we saying, like in China, that there's a limit to the number of kids that you can have? The difficulty, once you get into the detail, is that we either say the maximum number of kids you're allowed to have on benefits is X is one or two, as I say, like they say in China.
No,
actually going to make it very difficult to raise kids.
No, we're not doing that either.
If you've got stupid parents, then you're basically going to have to suffer by being in relative poverty within big families.
No, we're not saying either of those things. We are simply saying you have as many kids as you like. That's fine. But actually, there's a limit to the amount of money the state is going to pay you to do this. The incentives are all wrong. The year I was born, my mother didn't get any child benefit for me because it didn't exist for the first child. The year my daughter was born, we didn't get any child benefit for her because it didn't exist for the first child. It was brought in by governments much later who thought that there was money to burn. There isn't. There are loads and loads of examples of families where it's very obvious that they are making a rational choice to gain more benefits by having more children. And you know what? They're going to find it tougher in future because that's about to stop.
But in terms of many families who are already in that position, once you move the boundaries, it's the children who are going to suffer, surely.
Well, it is possible actually to get jobs and to work hard and to look after children extremely well.
There are many people who are looking for jobs and can't find them.
And there are many people who perhaps should be looking a bit harder. One of the things that Job Seekers Allowance is doing, and I've watched a young friend of mine go through this process recently, starting off by saying exactly, oh, there aren't any jobs, to have a gentle and persistent Job Seekers Allowance official pushing gently and firmly and insisting and saying, when you come back next week, I want to know how many interviews you've been to. You know what? That person's in a job now. There were the jobs there. There are thousands of jobs going all over the country. All you have to do is go on Google the name of your hometown and Google job vacancies. You'd be surprised what comes up.
So instead of trying to prevent these changes then, Limbadopa, Liberal Democrat partners in government should be backing these Tory plans.
Well, I'm sure for once at the moment, I actually am speaking pretty much how most Lib Dems feel, which is, a debate about Osborne is relevant here. I mean, I'd been asked a fair question at the beginning. Is this about Osborne or is it about benefits reform? On benefits reform, we can have an interesting conversation. Part of it's about Osborne. We've got a Chancellor who thinks it's all right to talk about Philpott as if he was in a general position. His specific creates a general precedent. The other point about what Edwina said about jobs. Actually, I was speaking to somebody yesterday who started off in Scotland and found himself in London in the end because he couldn't get a job in between. He's a graduate. It's a terrible situation at the moment in the jobs market. And I don't think that it's easy to get work at the moment. But that's two steps away from the conversation we're having. There is a way you could change the benefit system. I'm not really opposed to the idea of making sure that benefits soaks who gravitate towards doing whatever is expedient to get more money, that those people are disincentivized. My big issue is that we've got a Chancellor who made an utterly crass connection, which offends many thousands of people who don't really want to be on benefits, maybe have two or three kids, or maybe ended up on benefits after having had kids when they were in employment. Now they hear the Chancellor saying that there's something wrong with that. It's not good enough, really. We expect
He didn't say that. Have all the children, please God, enjoy. If you're good parents and you bring up your children well, then have as many children as you want to have. Enjoy them and be blessed. Just don't expect that the people next door who haven't got as much money as you are going to be funding it. That's the point.
0845 955 678 is a number to call. And important again, the question that the Chancellor was asked, he was asked if Philpott was a byproduct of Britain's benefit system, and he said it's right that we ask questions as a government, as a society, and as taxpayers why we are subsidising lifestyles like these. Was he right to say it? And was the timing right? Stephen's on the line this morning. Morning, Stephen.
Morning, Joel.
What's your view on this?
I'm very angry listening to some of the comments being made there, Joel, in your programme, specifically around George Osborne's claim, you know, that there has to be a debate on this. The fact is, we're going to lose sight of the fact that there was a very dangerous and evil man that manipulated the system and manipulated young women, and they think on that he was in control of everything they was doing. You know, and the thing is, the benefit system didn't pay money into his account only. The wages of those two women also did that. You know, so you can't just blame the benefit system for that.
But the system did, to some extent, allow it to happen.
Yes. But we're in danger of losing sight of what happened, Joel. And the thing about it is, that this man went out of his way to manipulate those two ladies, or more than those two ladies, and commit this awful crime. And we're going to lose sight of that, because what we're doing is we're debating whether or not we should have children or not, whether or not on benefits. Yeah. The benefit system, Joel, is there to help everyone that falls into that unfortunate lapse of not having a job. You know, and we can't just turn around and say, the fact that someone has children and they might get, you know, be made unemployed, you could be made unemployed tomorrow, you know, and if you have children, what do you do then? You know, these things can happen to anyone, Joel. And this is the thing, there has to be a benefit system in place to help people.
Stephen, thanks for your point this morning. William's in Armagh. Morning, William.
Hello, how are you doing? Look, I just want to make a couple of things about Edwina Curry said. First of all...
Edwina's there, you can say hello to her.
Yeah, hello, Edwina.
Hello, good morning.
Hello. I think you serve in the same government as, say, Norman Tebbit, and he told us all to get on our bikes and look for these jobs that didn't exist in the 80s.
What he said was that his father got on his bike.
Well, he also said that people like us should get on our bike.
Now, what exactly was wrong with that? What exactly was wrong with saying that?
Well, he was telling people to cycle around the country looking for jobs that didn't exist.
Well, the jobs did exist.
You tell all the young postgraduates and graduates that are working in fast food joints that have got qualifications of all various descriptions, have worked hard about going looking for jobs.
Well, I tell you what, when I was a young graduate, I would do whatever was available.
Yeah.
There were choices.
I mean, there were choices in the 60s and things were on the up.
Well, with respect, if you want a good job very often, especially you come out of university with some degree in social studies or whatever, you're going to have to get some experience first.
When you went out of university in the 60s with a degree, you were near enough guaranteed a good job. Today,
no, you were not.
Hundreds of thousands
not
of
from Liverpool, you weren't.
And have no work. And you've got this man, Osborne, an old Etonian, a very privileged person, privileged background, telling people, blaming the hungry and the needy.
He was not an Etonian, actually.
Well, whatever, Harrod.
It doesn't matter. The point is that the jobs are there. Explain to me, when I'm in Belfast, why all the staff at the little restaurant where I eat are from Poland. Explain to me why local people don't want to do those jobs. Explain to me what's going on. Why have we got people coming 1,000 miles to do jobs when we've got people actually on the doorstep who are not, for one reason or another, applying for them?
We've got people in this country, we can't even get a football team. They're all working in Canada and Australia because they can't get work.
So, Edwina, just to be clear, are you saying that there are people who make a choice, who decide for themselves that actually I'm going to be on benefits because I want to be and I don't necessarily want to work? Is that what you're saying?
I used to teach economics and it is a rational choice. It is a rational choice. I've had people say to me in the advice bureau, in the MP's advice bureau, you know, if I take this job, I'm going to lose £90 a week because I lose so many benefits. It makes much more sense for me not to do the job, to stay at home. I don't like being at home. It's boring and all the rest of it, get depressed. But actually, if I'm going to disadvantage my family, I'm going to take the job. And that's a rational choice to stay home.
And what sort of percentage of people who are on Job Seekers Allowance do you think that applies to?
We have no idea. We have no idea.
Are we talking majority, minority?
Oh, who knows? Who knows? But it's not so much Job Seekers Allowance that I think is at the heart of the discussion we're having now. It's child benefit for child after child after child after child. And that has to be a strong incentive. Anybody intelligent can work this out. It's a strong incentive to have more kids. It's got to be. That's how it works.
And if you were in that position, though, and you were faced with that dilemma, surely you would probably think to yourself, well, I want to have the best possible financial environment for my children, so why would I take a job if it's going to be less money for me to bring them up on?
I've had the question put to me many times in advice bureaus in South Derbyshire when we were going through enormous economic upheaval with the coal mines closing before Toyota arrived. And I would have to say to them, look, especially for younger people, you have to start somewhere. You have to start somewhere. You actually have to do what many immigrant families, remember my grandparents were immigrants, what they had to do. You start at the bottom, you do the jobs that are needed, however boring, however repetitive, however ill-paid, and that's when you get the experience, you get the references, you get the qualifications, and you're able then to go on to other things.
So it's effectively a loss leader in your view. If giving up benefits means less money, it's basically a loss leader to...
But it's more than that.
To develop a career, is that what you're saying?
It's more than that, because when you're in a job, you're much less likely to get depressed. When you're in a job, you're much less likely to have that awful lack of confidence that people have. You're actually able to get yourself up and get yourself dressed and clean and all the rest of it.